Today, we're going to be discussing my five-step proprietary stock screen. And, you know, it's exciting when you find a company that passes, because you can use the five-step stock screen just as is to invest. You can go a lot deeper, and we will go a lot deeper beyond the five steps. But today, but people have been successful just using the five-step stock screen and finding stocks that have massively outperformed the overall stock market index. So that I want anyone who's watching, who comes in contact with me, to outperform, to succeed. Right. My goal is to help at least 100,000 people become financially free. And I want you to be one of them. So if you're using this, I believe that using my five-step stock screen will increase your probability of success in the stock market dramatically. And you'll outperform the overall stock market. And so that's why I have it in my book, The Nine Money Rules Millionaires Use. And that's why we're going to share with you today. So if a company passes all five steps, it's a winner. It's likely to outperform. Now, we'll also get into, and here's a little tease for the next episode, we're going to go deeper than that, even deeper. So there are companies that pass, great, they're likely to be a winner. But then if they pass and we calculate a price target for them, and we see that the price target is at least 100% upside, that's a real winner. Peter Lynch, one of the famous mutual fund managers back in the 90s, coined the term 10 bagger. That's my dream. I haven't found a 10 bagger yet. That's 10 times your money. So you put in $10,000 and it goes to 100, or it goes from 100,000 to a million, you know. And so I haven't found any of those yet, but I have found 4 and 5 and 6 baggers. So I'm still looking for the 10. Let's get into it. So step one is to calculate the most recent earnings per share. And we've defined earnings per share as net income divided by the outstanding shares on average over the quarter. So it's the most recent quarter's earnings per share divided by the prior year's earnings per share. So we're getting a growth rate for the earnings for the company. And I'll use a very old example that's in the 9 Money Rules Millionaires Use, Amazon. And we looked at Amazon's second quarter 2018 earnings, and Amazon's second quarter 2018 EPS was $5.07. So now we're going to compare 2018 second quarter to 2017 second quarter. And in 2017 second quarter, they only earned $1.25. Huge growth, right? From 2017 to 2018. If you divide 507 by $1.25, you get 306%. So step one, we're looking for companies that grow their earnings at least 10%. So if it's more than 10, it passes step one. Amazon was 306%. It passed. Okay. Yeah. Huge growth. Awesome. So we're excited. Okay. We're like, okay, we got step one down. So does that make sense? We're looking for companies that are growing their earnings calendar year over calendar year, at least 10%. What's really, somebody asked me this recently, where can I find this? Do I have to go to Vanguard or Fidelity? Like, where do I go? You go to the company's website. And the company, if you go to the company's website and you just do Amazon Investor Relations, they have a press release for every quarter's earnings. You just click on the press release, you scroll all the way down, because there's a lot of verbiage, there's a lot of commentary, but you scroll all the way down. You see, and we talked about this in the first episode, the consolidated statement of operations, or the income statement. And in that income statement, it shows how much money they made, the EPS, diluted EPS. So diluted means that it includes all the stock options that they issue to their employees. So it's diluted EPS for this quarter versus diluted EPS for the prior year's quarter. Divide, and if it's more than 10%, you got step one passed. Okay, awesome. Now step two. Step two is we're checking revenue growth. So how much revenues, or some companies in their income statement, a consolidated statement of operations, use sales or net sales. It's the same thing. So sales, net sales, or revenues, we're calculating the most recent quarter's revenue or sales growth. And we want to see if it's at least 5%. So for the second quarter 2018, Amazon had sales of $52.9 billion. And in the second quarter of 2017, it had sales of $38 billion. So if we divide 52.9 by 38, we get 39%. So some people may ask, why 10% for earnings growth? Why 5%? Well, first of all, I'm looking for companies that are growing, and I want them to be growing a substantial amount. And this is going to eliminate a lot of companies that are not growing much. If their sales are 1 or 2 or 3% growth, I don't really care. I want companies that are growing nicely. And let's get to step three and the reason why one is more than the other. Why step one, we have 5%. Step one, we have 10%. Step two, we have 5%. So step three is just to check if step one is greater than step two. And so Amazon, step one was 306%. Step two was 39%. So step one is greater than step two. Now, the reason why I had step one earnings per share growth 10% test and 5% for the revenue growth test is I want earnings to be growing greater than revenues. When that happens, that means that the company their operating margin is expanding. So for every dollar that every dollars of book that they sold, they're making more money in 2018 than they were in 2017 because the earnings grew more than their revenues. So their margin, if you divided earnings by revenues, you get a higher number. And so that's expansion. And that's exciting too for me because I'm like, okay, they're making more money for the same widget compared to the prior year. That's good news. So that's step three. So step four is where the numbers, one's a percentage, one's a number, and we'll work with that. So step four is what we've talked about already in a prior episode is the EPS growth, the earnings per share growth, greater than the PE? So earnings per share growth, we already calculated, right? That's the 306% number we already have. But now we have to calculate the PE. And so at this time, Amazon was trading at $1,808 when it reported. So we want to look at the day it reported earnings. So in 2018, it reported earnings on July 26th. And so on that day, it was trading at $1,808. Now the E is important. So we talked about many different ways to calculate the E. In my five-step stock screen, we're looking at the E as the earnings per share for that quarter that we did in step one. So we found it earned $5.07. So that's one quarter though. We want to get four quarters because that's a year. So we multiply by four. So the $5.07 times four, we're dividing 1,808, the price, divided by the earnings per share. So 1,808 divided by four times the $5.07. That gets you 89. So the PE for Amazon based on this quarter's earnings was 89. Sounds high, but we just heard that the EPS was 306, 306%. So we're checking, is 306 greater than 89? It is. So again, here we have a percentage and a number. But just take off the percentage. We're comparing numbers to numbers to make it easy. So 306 is more than 89. The other way we can look at it is, so we calculated, remember, the PEG ratio, the PE to earnings per share growth. And this is another way of saying, is the PEG ratio less than one? The PE divided by EPS growth. So the PE here was 89. the EPS growth was 306. So 89 divided by 306 is less than one. But whichever way you calculate it, we're looking for, so my official step four is EPS growth greater than PE. EPS growth 306, PE 89, past step four. Step five, very simple. This is the we talked last episode about fundamental analysis versus technical analysis. The first four steps we just calculated are all fundamental analysis. We're looking at the fundamentals of the company. Step five is technical analysis. What we're doing is we want to see if the stock price went up on the day of earnings. Some companies report before market open, BMO, before market open. And so if the company reported before 9:30 when the stock, 9:30 Eastern, when the stock market opens, then it's the same day. But if they report after the market close, there's not enough stock traded post-close. There may be some, for the largest companies there is, right? For Amazon, Google, Apple, Facebook, and so on, top 20 companies there is, but beyond that, there's not a lot of volume traded. And so I look at next day. So I see what was the close for the day they actually, so if they report after market, so Amazon, for example, July 26th, it reported before market open. But if they had reported after the market closed on July 26th, I look at how did the stock do on July 27th.
Okay. So it's after the report comes out. Right. How is it performing after that?
They use next day. And so it's really important to know, did the company report after the market closed or before the market opened? If they reported before the market opened, you're using the same day, July 26th, July 26th. If it reported after the market closed, you use next day, July 27th. How do you know? Usually 75% of the time in the press release, it'll date stamp it 5 p.m. Eastern or 7 a.m. Eastern. So you know, same 7 a.m. Eastern before market open, same day, 5 p.m. Eastern after market close next day. Sometimes there's no date stamp. What do you do? So what happens when a company reports the earnings is a lot of stock is traded that day. People are getting new information. The professional analysts are updating their earnings estimates for the next year, for the next quarter. They may even change their recommendation on the stock from a sell to a hold, from a hold to a buy, from a buy down to a hold, from a hold down to a sell. So things are moving. And lots of changes are happening on the day of earnings. So you can look at volume. And usually volume jumps double, triple, quadruple. So that's easy. So you can go to Yahoo Finance and go to historical data, and it lists the volume every single day of the company. So you can just go back to the prior quarter and say, okay, or go to Amazon July 26th and say, was it before market open or after market closed, July 26th, 2018? And see that the volume jumped on July 26th and not the 20, and the 27th, it probably goes back down. But usually doubles or triples on the day. And maybe it only goes up 50%, but there's a big jump. And that's how you know. Yeah. So very important point. And I've worked on programming this five-step stock screen in an app. And the apps can't handle this because of the timestamp is not always on the press release. It doesn't know what to do with the companies that don't have a timestamp. So then you have to go to volume, and then you have to use this if then statement. If there's no timestamp, then use volume. And volume's right 95% of the time, but it's also not 100%. So did Amazon stock go up on July 26th? It didn't. It went down. It declined 3%. So Amazon did not pass the five-step stock screen back in the second quarter of 2018. Now, some of my clients are even more conservative on step five, and they'll say, okay, they want to not just see the stock go up, they want to see it go up more than the stock market. So say the stock market, I use the S&P 500, the Standard & Poor's 500 index. And that's a broad index of the 500 largest stocks. But you can use another index like the Russell 2000 index. But the S&P 500 index is SPY, the ETF, the exchange traded fund, so SPY. So you can just see, what did SPY do on July 26, 2018? Did it go up or down? It went down less than 3%. So Amazon did fail. And either if you're conservative or, you know, more aggressive. So that's the five-step stock screen. Very simple. Again, what my clients find is take the most time is just finding the numbers first. Like, once we're working together and they get onto the press release, and it can take a couple minutes, but usually it's in the beginning, it can take a lot of time just finding the numbers. But once you're practicing it, you know, you can find a company fail in a couple of seconds. Oh, it didn't have earnings growth at 10%. Earnings went down, fail, move on to the next one. Oh, revenues grew 1%, not 5, move on to the next one. And it's really quick. You know, you can put, you know, I've helped my clients put this in a spreadsheet. All you do is put in 7 numbers and the spreadsheet spews out if it's a pass or a fail. And so it's really, really quick. And so you can go through a lot of companies, even like semi-manually by putting in the spreadsheet. I'm not going to name the applications, but there's various applications that I have programmed it in, databases, and then you just hit the button and it's done. So you want to find companies that pass, because you want to find companies that are going to outperform over the next 3 to 6 months. People ask me, how good is this? Well, it's good for 3 to 6 months, but you can do it every 3 months. And here's another inside baseball tip here. You can actually calculate the first 4 steps for the next quarter before the company has reported their earnings, based on the average analyst estimates for the next quarter. Now, I think we talked about in the first episode that analysts are not right, but they're not wrong by a huge amount. That, you know, if the average analyst estimate for next quarter is $5, the company's not going to earn 10. It might earn $5.10 or $4.90, but they're usually within a 2 or 3% range. So you can get an idea if the company's going to pass the first 4 steps by getting the analyst estimates. And those are available on all the applications like Fidelity, Vanguard, Charles Schwab, Yahoo Finance, you know, FactSet, S&P, Bloomberg, all the applications. You can get the next quarter's average analyst estimates and then check if it passes. You can't know, obviously, if it's going to pass step 5, because step 5 is, how does the stock price do on the day of earnings? Now, let's talk about step 5 for a second, get into this a little bit more, because people have asked me this. You're using fundamental analysis for the first 4 steps. Why do you use any technical analysis? Like, it's just looking at the price. I say, because the stock price on the day of earnings is incorporating a ton of new information. And as a former hedge fund manager, I would model out the earnings and capital and book value and shareholders' equity of a company for the next quarters, 4, 5, 8 quarters. And I might be pretty good at that. But then the company, if I bought the company stock and it passed all those 4 steps, it might still go down. And why did it go down? Expectations. Maybe, and this is what happened with Amazon this quarter. 300% earnings growth, 39% revenue growth, and the stock goes down? What? It's because people were expecting them to earn $6 and not $5. And so the stock went down 3%. And the stock, by the way, had gone up for the 3 months before also a lot. So it was priced for a large increase. And it grew a lot, but the general investor wanted them to grow even more. That's why the stock went down a bit. So that information is really important to understand how much is already in the stock price and if the stock's going to outperform for the next 3 to 6 months. Because the stock goes down, even though it had great numbers, you're like, okay, well, that's already embedded in the stock price that day. So it's unlikely to continue to outperform for the next 3 to 6 months. So the first step is earnings per share growth year over year. And we want that to be at least 10%. Second step is revenue growth year over year, or net sales or sales growth of at least 5%. Step three is we want step one to be more than step two. So the calculation you did in step one, in this example, we had 307% and step two was 39%. So we want step one greater than step two. That was true. And step four is we want the earnings per share growth to be greater than the PE. So the earnings per share growth in the example was 300%, the PE was 89. So 300 was more than 89. And then step five is we just want to see if the stock price went up on the day of earnings. And again, technically, we want to, the company reported after the market closed, you use the next day's earnings. If reported before the market opened, you use the same day's earnings.